I'm Rabbi Joel Alter, Director of Admissions for the Rabbinical and Cantorial Schools at JTS. I'm calling my drasha for Parashat Ha'azinu on Shabbat Shuvah on this very day. It's difficult to overstate the pathos of Moshe's last days. This man, and he is most assuredly a man, not a god, not a saint, who never wanted to be a leader, and after his first impulsive attempt at leading, was met with contempt from those he tried to save and condemnation from Pharaoh, his adopted father, carried the burdens of prophetic leadership with fierce loyalty to both of his masters, God and the people. Even as agent for miracle upon miracle, and even though he articulated against all odds God's vision of blessing, holiness, and justice to a nation struggling badly to shake off its physical and spiritual bonds, he never won the battle for the Israelites' trust in God nor in himself. Yet this man would die with his final and possibly only wish explicitly denied. God granted him permission to view the promised land from a height, but not to set foot upon it. While Moshe records in Deuteronomy 3:26 that God angrily told him he would countenance no further pleas to enter the land, quote, "But the Lord was wrathful with me and said to me, 'Enough! Never speak to me of this matter again,'" unquote. God finds cause in this week's parasha to remind Moshe once more why he, God, will not permit him, Moshe, to enter the land, even as he commands him to ascend Har Nebo, where he will view the land and then die. Nothing in the Torah's telling suggests that God treats Moshe with anything but care and even generous compassion as he escorts him to his death. The Midrash poignantly expands this understanding, telling how God withdraws from Moshe the breath of life with a gentle kiss, holding firmly to the decree that Moshe must not enter the land while granting him an extraordinary view of it from the mountain's summit. God has reconciled with Moshe. And we pray that Moshe, though desiring life to the very last, is reconciled with God. But what of Moshe and his people? Are they reconciled as Moshe utters his parting words and begins his final ascent? I worried about this as I read our Parsha's closing paragraphs. At chapter 32:47, Moshe exhorts the people, for he's forever exhorting the people, to follow the Torah devotedly, pressing his point by saying, quote, "The Torah is not a trifling, literally empty thing for you. It is your very life." Even now, does Moshe have to caution the people in such stark terms not to treat the Torah with indifference? Have they no baseline of loyalty on which he can rely, so that he may die in peace? The people's record is poor. In the next verse, the Torah reports that God commands Moshe to ascend Har Nebo, quote, "that very day." Why is it significant that God's command comes that very day? From a literary perspective, it heightens the drama. Moshe has spoken his final words to his people and so has concluded his task on earth. It's time for him to go. Fulfillment of God's promise, the people's entering the land under Joshua's leadership, cannot go forward as long as Moshe remains alive. In its fashion, the Midrash takes instruction from the two other instances in Torah in which the phrase Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, that very day, appears. Rashi brings this wonderful midrash from the collection called Sifrei to our attention. The first parallel comes from the Noah story, quote, "On that very day, Noah entered into the ark." The second is on the night of the Exodus, quote, "On that very day, God took the Israelites out of Egypt." What prompted God in each instance to act so decisively? Midrash Sifrei 3:37 explains that Noah's evil contemporaries were so incensed by his ark that they swore that if they witnessed Noah so much as move toward it to make his escape, thereby confirming and commencing their doom, they would block him and violently smash the ark to bits. Defying them, God brought Noah into the ark then and there, quote, on that very day. Similarly, on the eve of the Exodus, the Egyptians swore they'd not only block the Israelites' escape, but slaughter them on the spot. Defying the Egyptians, God brought the Israelites out of Egypt then and there, quote, on that very day. As Moshe's death approaches, the Israelites swear that they will not let Moshe leave them. One imagines them stationing themselves at every trailhead leading up to Har Nebo. Quote, this man who brought us out of Egypt and split the sea for us and brought down manna for us and harvested quail for us and raised up the well for us and gave us the Torah, we will not let him go. Defying them, God decides to bring Moshe in, then and there, in broad daylight, quote, on that very day. What an analogy. In refusing to give Moshe leave to die, the people are akin to the miserable generation of the flood and the woeful Egyptians at the Exodus. Are the Israelites wicked when they protest, no, we will not let you die? Does God take Moshe away from them out of spite? If we read the people's recitation of the miracles Moshe has wrought as a catalog of perks that come with Moshe's leadership, like that of a wealthy spouse grousing about the material comforts at stake in a divorce, well then yes, we might say that the Israelites are wicked to the end. Let Moshe go, they seem to be saying, not a chance, who will bring home the quail? If, though, we read the people's protest as an 11th hour confession of the blessing of Moshe's life, of his generosity, devotion, and steadfastness, then God's command that Moshe begin his ascent, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, comes at the perfect time. The protest is a remarkable about-face for a people who previously accused Moshe of having brought them up from a land of milk and honey with the evil intent of killing them in the barren wilderness. But now they trust in Moshe and in God as they did once before and never since, at the instance of the crossing of the sea. Just now, God will take Moshe from them, for Moshe, a mere mortal, must die like everyone else before they backslide into faithlessness, as they inevitably will. We read Parashat Ha'azinu on Shabbat Shuvah, the 11th hour of Shabbatot. The new year has already begun, and Yom Kippur is quickly bearing down. The anxious undercurrent of the entire high holiday season plays to the strains of the piyut Unetana Tokef, with which we face the inevitability and mystery of our own mortality. Let us take guidance, then, from our ancestors and confess now to all who have been gracious toward us, who have sustained us with their kindnesses and supported us steadfastly in spite of our resistance and resentments, that we are deeply grateful to them and that we cannot imagine our lives without them. Tell God, tell one another, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, on this very day. Shabbat Shalom and Gmar Chatima Tovah.